It's time for Pet Files Ask the Vet. Underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief vet at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning. I'm sorry that you're cold today.
Yeah, so are we. But...
do you have your mittens on?
No, they're in the car. It's not good. All right, so we're going to go straight to Delaney in Middletown, who is hopefully warmer, and her Gracie, or his Gracie, no, it's a girl's name. Gracie seems to have a hot spot on her right flank. I say seems to because she licks and chews it a lot, leaving a permanent cowlick. I can't see anything wrong when I look at the skin there. She just had a checkup, and she's free of parasites, and she eats the highest quality no-grain diet. What is the deal with hot spots, and is there any way to cool them down? Gracie is a 3-year-old Border Collie mix.
So Gracie is licking, it sounds like, licking and chewing her flank. The important thing is to get to the reason why she's licking. To backtrack here, a hot spot is an area of super itchy dermatitis on the skin. It's acute moist dermatitis. So that means usually a true hot spot is a wet area that the skin is very red.
It's oozy
and red.
And you know, it's so funny. Of course, you're the veterinarian, and I'm just the me. But that was the first thing I thought about. It was like, okay, well, I've got golden retrievers, and when I see hot spots, they're gross.
And they come up really quickly.
Yeah.
So the hair sometimes is gone, and it is an oozy mess, and there's a scab in the hair. And so I'm not sure that what we're dealing with really is a hot spot, but I think that the idea is there is that it's an itchy spot that she keeps going back to. And so the first thing to think about is why is she scratching there? Is there a bug bite there? Sometimes a bug bite can lead to a hot spot. Seems an odd time of year, less common to have a bug bite there. She is a border collie, and so it could be that she's bored. Border collies need lots of running, lots of things to do. They're really smart dogs, and they do not like to be bored. So that's another potential issue. She may be generally allergic, maybe itchy all over. It sounds like she doesn't have any parasites, but an itchy dog should probably be treated for parasites just in case. And then, so you think about, what can be done to prevent it. So first what I'll say is if you've got a dog who just very, very occasionally has an itchy spot, you can use, in order to treat it and make it feel better, you can use some topical calendula cream. Calendula comes in a cream or a tincture or an ointment. And calendula is made from marigold, so it's natural. And it's not going to hurt to be ingested. You don't want it to be licked off completely all the time because then it's not going to work on the skin.
Do you put ointment on fur? It's one of the things that I've
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you put it on top of the fur, it's not going to work. So if you've got an area that's sparse, then and you can get it down to the skin, then it may be helpful. But if you can't get it down to the skin, and the skin is quite red, you can clip the hair, but I don't want anyone using scissors to clip the hair, especially on the flank. I can't tell you how many ears and flanks have had to be sutured because of the use of clippers.
Clippers or scissors?
Scissors. So a clipper would be in order there. So if the skin doesn't look red, then you probably really don't have a true hot spot. You've got an itchy area, and trying to sort of figure out why are we itchy? Has Gracie been itchy before other seasons? Is she hot? Does she run hot? Maybe you want to think about a fish-based diet. If she's panting, I've got a young dog who my bedroom is 60 degrees, and if I put even a sheet on the bottom of his crate at nighttime, he pants. So he runs hot. So, these dogs can be on, we want them to be on a very low starch-based diet. So grain-free is great to start. You want to make sure that there's not a lot of starch in that diet as well. For instance, tapioca starch, potato starch, et cetera. And maybe even try a fish-based diet. that will help to cool them down.
And I've got a Dr. Cannon story that I'm going to tell your listeners because it may be relevant here and it may not. But all of my dogs were on grain-free, and I was still having evidence of perhaps some grain ingestion, like with itchiness and ooziness, and thus this story. And I remember contacting Dr. Cannon and saying, I just don't know what's going on. This is just ridiculous. They're on grain-free, and he shouldn't, Shark Goodman should not be itching, and he shouldn't be chewing on his butt, and what the And Dr. Cannon said, well, is there any chance that Shark is eating anything else? And I looked at the pizza crusts that I had been feeding him nightly to share with everybody. And the point was, I went, oh, gotta go. But the point was that sometimes in treats and in the extraneous things they get into, I'm not saying this is the case with Gracie, but it's entirely possible that her grain-free diet is being supplemented by something that isn't grain-free.
Right, so that's something else to look at. So there are lots of factors that are involved with itchy spots on dogs. And so it's not a not a quick, simple answer. But if you do have an oozy spot, using calendula is okay. There is a calendula and hypericum mixture, but the hypericum is not something that you want ingested, licked. So you could use it on the face where they can't get to it. And added antioxidants, vitamin C, a little bit of vitamin C. Sometimes I use digestive enzymes on an empty stomach too, affecting the brush and border of the intestine and maybe reducing some inflammation. Probiotics are a great idea. Omega fatty acids too. That's something I should have mentioned first. So
you mentioned them.
Oh, okay.
And you went to fish based, but important though is that you don't just lash out. You know, sit down and order these things. You've got to find out how much you're. Unfortunately for the DIY types, you've got to find out how much your particular, how much is useful, how much not.
Right. So, but you definitely with Gracie, they could start out with a good probiotic like Proviable. 40-Flora is not too bad, and then omega fatty acids in a supplement like krill oil would be a great place to start to reduce itch.
All right. Amy and Hank in Waterbury. We have a pair of young cats that are brothers from the same litter. First, Venus was diagnosed with a heart murmur, then a condition for which she's taking daily medication to keep, if I understand correctly, the walls of his heart from thickening. Soon after that, his brother Pluto was diagnosed with a heart murmur. The vet said it's up to me whether we want to put Pluto on the same medication as a prophylactic. I'm reluctant to give him any meds unless it's really necessary, but heart conditions are scary. What do you think about it?
Huh. I wonder where Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus are.
So do I. I wonder why Venus is not a girl.
Those are cute names. So the thickening of the heart in cats is the most common heart disease that they get, and it's called hypertrophic, meaning too much tissue production, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And we think that it is familial, meaning that there's a genetic component. So, but it doesn't always come with a heart murmur, and heart murmurs can be innocent, and there's nothing wrong. So it is somewhat of a, something that probably should be investigated. You can't make the assumption that because one cat has a diagnosis of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy that a heart murmur in a littermate is going to be the same thing. So I would not do prophylactic medication for HCM without some diagnosis. And there is a blood test that can be run that measures stretch of myocardial muscle, which could be somewhat of an indication of whether Pluto has the same disease. And then alternatively, an echocardiogram to see if there are changes that are consistent with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. But I definitely would not use the medication on a daily basis prophylactically, just based on a heart murmur.
All right. And here is FM to endorse your statement. All right, Lisette in New Preston. Okay, this is a wild one. 2 weeks ago, a chicken appeared in my yard. I started letting her into the garage at night. Then I gave her some nesting material. Now I'm getting attached. She hasn't expressed any interest in coming into my house at this point, but if she does, would it be okay to let her in? Or will she bring unwanted visitors in the form of, like, mites or something?
Well, letting her in the house would be the unwanted chicken poop all over everything. This really would be
just don't think about
more
that,
of a concern.
They?
Yeah, I mean, I had chickens are lovely. I just really love them, but they belong in a coop because of the poop. So even if you have them loose in the barn, you will find that there's chicken poop all over everything. And it's big, and it's sloppy, and it's white, and it's messy, and it's hard to clean up. So that would be my first concern. But they can have feather mites also. They're not, bird mites don't like to live on people. But if you're petting your chicken and you see these little creatures running on them, it's not probably something that you want to have in your house. And I think it probably would be too warm for them also. So, if you want to keep the chicken, get another chicken and make a little coop or make a little area in the garage, perhaps, with a nesting box.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it. And then also, then you got to make sure that everybody else in the neighborhood isn't,
looking for their chicken.
I was thinking more looking for a chicken, not their chicken. Because chickens have...
The dogs.
Well, dogs.
Yeah.
Predators, as somebody I know used to say. I've got no idea what kind of area.
Yeah, but if there's a little garage or an outbuilding, with a little door to go outside and a fence, it sounds like a wonderful...
Sounds like a good thing. So the first thing to do would be get another chicken.
So that your chicken isn't all by itself most of the time. Yes.
Arjun in New Milford, how strict should I be with my Boston Terrier about eating mud? Good luck. As far as I can tell, the only result is a mild laxative effect, and maybe that's why he likes it. But is it bad for him?
Well, again, we're looking at the question of why is he eating mud, and with a Boston Terrier on a good diet, then likely it is a bit of a compulsive behavior. And so anything that is compulsive like that, if allowed to be repeated, typically becomes progressive with time, and so it can transmit to other things. But the eating of the mud itself would be, the danger would be the possibility of parasites, certainly, being in the dirt. Any dog dogs who eat more dirt than others are more prone to intestinal parasites. That can be monitored with frequent stool samples to check for parasites. I think the question was, is it bad for him? I would be very careful, because if it does become a super compulsive problem, then number one, when you try to stop your dog from doing something like that, you could be bitten. And number two, if there's enough mud eaten or dirt eaten too quickly, then you're looking at potentially a stomach obstruction. So it can really get packed in there and be difficult for it to move through into that funnel kind of area that empties the stomach. So that would be my concern.
All right.
If you're talking about a very occasional situation and you're getting him out of there right away, then not something to worry about too much.
All right. So does it have anything? Is it safe to say the bigger the dog, the more dirt they can eat?
And get away with it?
Well, I'm not talking about a repetitive behavior. I'm just talking about, it's like, I have one particular dog who eats sticks, and they just disagree with him viciously. And I would like to remove all the sticks from my yard, but that's not possible.
I think that the bigger the dog, the bigger the intestine. And so the more likely that there won't be a problem with the ingestion of something, and that it will be carried through. And Boston Terriers are not large dogs. And so depending on, what the situation is, with a behavior problem, we always have to get really particular about the situation.
So who should Arjun talk to just in case there's a behavior? I mean, how would you
approach? Well, you start with your veterinarian. Start with your general practitioner.
Okay.
And so that they can determine whether they think that it really is an abnormal behavior or not. And if it is, then you may need to, you can either avoid the situation. So if there's one area where they're eating mud, you know, you can put something else there or put up a fence and avoid that situation. But if there's mud eating all over the place, then you need to think about some training, or so that you can say leave it if you're keeping your dog on leash. If your dog is loose, then or if this translates to other areas of compulsive behavior, then seeing an animal behaviorist.
All right. I have a digression question that goes with that, because from time to time, we've got about 7 minutes left, but from time to time, I will get in my practice, I will get a phone call that is, my dog's eating the carpet. He's chewing everything. He's running around. Again, since I learned from you what that was, I just thought that people would rather hear it from you. So, you know, when your dog just suddenly starts going crazy as though
they're on fire. If that suddenly happens, then, yeah, they're eating things to kind of put out the stomach fire. So there is typically it's because they either very often ate some sort of a burr, something that is scratchy and irritates the esophagus and potentially the stomach. So burdock, you know, who knows what, even portions of stick that might have scratched the esophagus. And so they feel a pain in the esophagus, which is the tube that goes from the mouth to the stomach, or in the stomach. And so it's called pica, when you just eat anything to swallow it. And, you know, I think the swallowing makes them feel better. And that I usually address with some liquid antacid with dogs. They can have, I don't know, Mylanta type of thing. Yeah.
Is there, and I always do the Mylanta versus Pepto-Bismol debate.
The Pepto-Bismol is just really thick, and it's really minty. So I have better luck with other things trying to get it down their throats.
And how do you, I also remember you once saying, I stood there and poured it down my Great Dane's throat, and I thought, how does she do that? I've always had to use a syringe.
You can use a syringe, but you can also use the little cup that comes with it that you drink out of, and just squish the cup on the sides and pour it right into their cheeks. So you've got to keep the head, their nose pointed to the ceiling, and pull that cheek out and pour it right in there. Even if you don't get it on the inside of the teeth, as long as you keep their heads up and rub the throat, then they're going to swallow.
That's interesting.
Eventually we'll swallow.
I would try that, but only in a place that's really covered in towels. Okay.
if you give Pepto-Bismol and they shake their heads, which they invariably do, then you have pink for the next 20 years that you're peeling off the walls.
Pink spots everywhere.
Pink. Yeah.
All right. Emma in Lee. I just adopted two Angora cats. They're gorgeous and very sweet, but I already had a long-haired cat, and the fur factor is getting overwhelming. Would it be bad to get them shaved down? Do they actually need their crazy super fluff for some reason? If it's okay, should I wait until next summer?
Yeah, so lots of people do clip their cats, and especially cats with very, very thick fur. There are some really cute clips. Sometimes they'll leave a little fur on the tail or the tip of the tail, and sometimes around the head, around the neck.
Cat mohawk. Lion.
What?
Yeah, kitty mohawk.
A kitty mohawk, that's not very nice.
But
although it might be pretty cute.
Very
but there's a lion cut that you can do. They don't need to have their hair, and I think that they're more comfortable probably without it. Some people are able to brush their cats every day, and this time of year you get a whole lot of static electricity. But if you can brush your cat to get some of the loose hairs out, it's helpful. So do you have to wait till the springtime? You know, it depends on how warm your house is. If you've got an indoor cat with a pretty warm house, probably not necessary to wait. If you've got a, it really is preferable to having a matted cat. And they get, even if the top looks okay, they get mats in the armpits and in between the hind legs
and
on the backs of their legs. And it's very uncomfortable for them.
And also sometimes in their chest. I once picked up the oversized AM here. we had FM earlier, AM, and I was like, oh my God, he's got some sort of growth. And in fact, it was just a chest mat in...
Mm-hmm. It's an area that's difficult for them to reach, to groom. But they really look adorable with a clipping, and I think that they feel better.
I think I'm going to start a business, another side business.
Oh, I bet, you know what, whoever clips cats deserves however much money they charge. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, cats are just so interesting. All right, I have a another side. Actually, speaking of cats, when cat's hair grows back, does it grow back from the bottom? Like if a cat, like FM, has a situation where they get total dermatitis and a lot of their fur falls out. How does cat fur grow back? Does it grow from the bottom up or how?
It grows from the hair follicle. So the hair follicle's in the skin.
Okay.
And so it if the hair has epilated or fallen out, then the follicle produces a new hair, we hope, unless there's damage or chronic inflammation. If you clip the hair, then it grows from the follicle. So from the skin toward the outside. Does that answer your question?
No.
Okay. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
No. It does sort of. But then if they're a big fluffy cat, does it grow from the... How do they become big and furry again? Okay, Marshall's asking. He's got a good answer that I can't even say. He says, inside out, you blank.
Yeah, so it grows... So it doesn't, you know, clipping the hair doesn't reduce the volume of hair from the skin. There's still the same number of hairs. They just can't, there's just not all that hair there to get tangled. And then it grows, it grows from the follicle. So the end of the hair isn't growing. I'm still probably misunderstanding what you're asking.
No.
But we can take this up another time.
Absolutely, because this has been, thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.